This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
And welcome to another edition of In Focus. It's Bob Perot with you, and I'm very pleased to be joined via Zoom today by Terry Lee Kelford with Cornerstone Landing. Terry Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thanks, as always, for having us.
Have you warmed up? I have to ask you that right off the top. It's been a while, but of course, the last time we were speaking, it had to do with the Perth polar bear plunge. So how you doing after that?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You were doing better than I was. It was your first jump, and you were just hanging out after. Like, I couldn't wait to get inside and get dressed and all that. And you were just hanging out, talking to people and all that. So I think you're a natural.
I think I make things like that look boring, so I'm probably not the one who should be going first.
I think you did a great job. And also, we've talked about it before, but the public really came through for Cornerstone Landing. There were more jumpers, I think, than we've ever had at the Perth Polar Bear Plunge. And you raised a ton of money.
Yeah, it was really incredible. I think I've said this to you before, as someone who has to do a lot of fundraising for a nonprofit and a charity, you always get so nervous that people don't really get excited about the event until the week before. But yeah, we went from something like $4,000 to like $22,000 in the space of like 5 days. So and I think we had 118 jumpers altogether. So pretty amazing numbers for sure.
Absolutely. And the reason that you're here today is to talk about another incredible effort. This is an annual effort for Cornerstone Landing. It would be the coldest night of the year that is coming up on February 25th. For our listeners who do not know, what is the coldest night of the year?
Coldest Night of the Year is an event that we started participating in 6 years ago. So this will be our sixth annual Coldest Night of the Year. It's a national event set up by a national nonprofit to help communities raise awareness around homelessness and housing, and also raise funds for local agencies that are working to address it. So in this case, Cornerstone Landing is hosting the event as we have for the last 6 years. So there's 180 plus communities across Canada that participate in the same day, same time for the walk. So it's a really cool event that we're excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that it's taking place, as you said, clear across Ontario, and we have several other stations in the MBC network that are actually taking part, that are going to be spending the night out. And they said, Bob, are you going to be doing this? And I said, no, I'm not. Not this year anyway. But people get involved in this, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. We almost broke the 100 walker mark last year. We had 98 walkers listed. So we're hoping to breach that 100 walker mark this year. But yeah, it's a really fun event. It's a walk that takes place. We have an in-person event ever since COVID. There's been a bit of a hybrid model. So you can come to an in-person event in Perth on February 25th. Registration starts at 4 o'clock. We have a lovely map and route already organized. And so it's 2.2 kilometers. So you can walk it up to three times for 6.6 kilometers, and we're going to have it well marked with volunteers out there. So, or you can actually do a virtual event, which is kind of a neat way to do it in Leonard County, because as you know, we have a collection of communities and towns and townships, and so you don't actually have to come to Perth. If you can't make it that day, you can actually organize a walk in your own community and still participate within the Leonard County event. So it's a nice little model now.
Yeah, for sure. And when I say I'm not taking part, I mean, I'm not going to sleep outside overnight just because I can't really do that. I plan on coming out to the event in Perth just to say hi and just see how things are going, of course. All I need to do is bring my grandson, then there's my worked-in excuse for not having to walk too far because I have to carry him. But nonetheless, it gets him involved at a young age, and that's sort of where I'm going with this. You get teams made up of all sorts of different people, don't you?
Yeah, it's great. And it's interesting to see the groups change every year. I just saw that the Perth Studio Theatre actually registered a group. So they've been busy in the last couple of days registering walkers and getting some fundraising going. So yeah, it's really neat. And we're very grateful to the Canadian Federation of University Women. They've offered to host our event. So they organize the entire Perth event for us help us collect walkers and teams in that location. So we're very grateful to them. And this year, Starbucks, although they've been very involved over the last few years and supporting us with a coffee and treat table, table at the event. They've actually become, I believe, a national sponsor this year. So all the Starbucks are involved as well, which is really cool. So yeah, it's a nice little event. We kind of joke that we never get the coldest night of the year, though. It's kind of like the polar bear plunge. We ended up with a really warm day.
Yeah.
So for this event, we seem to get one of the warmer days in February, not the coldest day. But that's I'm going to knock on wood for that one. It could be this year that we get minus 30 degree day. But yeah, it's a really nice walk.
You could have done it last Friday for all we know, and then that would have sunk in. But I think the point and the symbolism behind the movement, you know, the fundraiser and raising awareness gets people sort of out of their comfort zone on purpose. And I really think that this is something that has to be done, because there's one thing, it's one thing to say I support this and so on and so forth. But once you get into a situation where you are actually feeling a little bit, just a smidge of what the people you're trying to help are actually going through, it really resonates with the participants.
Yeah, certainly it's not, you know, it's not the same as, you know, living outside by any means in this weather. But just the, you know, a 2-hour walk or an hour walk is enough to kind of make you think about what people are coping with. And so, yeah, it's meant to just, you know, bring awareness, have people stop and pause and come together as a community and help support an agency that's trying to end homelessness.
Now, when it comes to the efforts to end homelessness, how are things looking now in Lanark County? I know that we've certainly seen some fluctuations over the course of the pandemic, and now with the cost of living being what it is, inflation, being able to find an apartment to live in, or even a room for that matter, is very, very challenging. So really, support for events like this are needed more than ever.
Yeah, you know, we're in an interesting climate because there is lots of additional funding, social services relief fund flow through the province for agencies like ours who are working to address homelessness during COVID, during the pandemic. But now with a budget coming up, or sorry, an election coming up in the next couple of years, certainly the rumors are that there's going to be a lot of cutbacks and austerity measures. So we're a little worried about what's going to happen over the next couple of years, because obviously the budget's going to be the hottest topic in the next election. So that makes little agencies like ours concerned, just because we know that the money may stop flowing. So rural communities are at a disadvantage compared to urban centers to begin with, because the money's not as strong, consistent, sustainable, or significant as for urban centers. So we're always kind of struggling to keep our head above water. But that's why events like this are extremely important. I think I said this at the Polar Bear Plunge, like, we literally could not do what we do if it wasn't for events like this and for folks stepping up and contributing. So, you know, people may think, hey, what's a $20 donation going to do? But collectively, it's incredible what the impact can be. So we committed the funds from this event 6 years ago to put towards building housing. And we actually did. So we built the tiny home, but we also bought a house in Perth in December of 2020. So literally this event helped us purchase that house. So it does make a big difference when your community steps up and gets involved, and every person and every dollar counts.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of difficult to say, so where do you see the funds from this year going? Because there's so many different things that you really need to cover that would be a very difficult question to answer unless you said, well, everything that we do.
Yeah, we have a bit of a federal grant, which we just had to apply for again, that covers about 70% of our staffing. And the town of Perth helps us out with the grant as well. But we really have to fundraise the vast majority of the funding for our program. So our Housing First program, our rent supplements all have to be fundraised. Our house in Perth is now fairly self-sufficient, but we need money for gift cards for kids. We supplement hygiene. As you know, with the increase in the cost of houses, our rent supplements have to go up, where $50 used to help a kid once a month before, it's now like $200 to $300 a month required to help. So when we're supporting, 50, 60, 70 kids a year, that amounts to a lot of fundraising. So yeah, so every year it matters. And we're about as lean a budget as you're going to get for a charity doing the work we're doing, because we're all working board members. It's actually the board that runs the agency. We don't have a manager or ED. People confuse me as the ED all the time, but I'm actually the chair of the board in a volunteer position. And so we don't have an office space. Any of those pieces are donated to us, and our staff are mobile. So we try to keep it as lean as possible so that we can direct as much funding as possible directly to the kids.
You know, you said the E word earlier, election. And of course, we bring you on every time there's a federal, provincial, municipal election or whatever, because Your scope of knowledge goes well beyond what we're talking about today, but when we talk about housing in general, one of the things that continues to baffle me as someone who's covered politics and issues such as homelessness, affordability in general, is that the national answer seems to be, well, let's build as many homes as possible in order to end homelessness, when in fact, I mean, obviously we know that we need different tiers of housing and so on, but where is the funding for organizations such as yours that are working to end homelessness with the boots on the ground? It sounds to me like if you really want to do this, you can't just, and I'm not saying they're just throwing money at one thing and building housing and so on, but really you need to take a look at organizations such as yours and increase the funding, because you're the folks who have that expertise that are going to help work this problem and find solutions.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, it was because of my work here in Leonard County and the lack of funding that seemed to exist for rural communities to address homelessness that we set up with the Canadian Alliance, a national alliance called the National Alliance to End Rural Around Homelessness, specifically to advocate and lobby the federal government for increased funds for rural communities. The national housing strategy that was set up by the current federal government was a great step, but it's dramatically underfunded. And rural communities, again, get treated very differently than urban centers do. And so there was a great research report just released by Dr. Rebecca Schiff and Ashley Wilkinson and Jeanette Wagemaker Schiff as well, that shows that the prevalence of homelessness in rural communities can actually be 3, 4, 5 times higher than the largest urban centers in Canada. And I think that's not well known or accepted. And so that was the first research project that I've seen anything like that, not just in North America, but around the world, that looked at prevalence and compared urban to rural. So I think we have to do more advocating. We have to do more pushing of not just the federal government, but also the provincial government. Our provincial government here in Ontario is all about supply and is not spending enough time focused on deep, affordable housing. And you'll see that reflected in the announcements around housing all over Leonard County. You'll see chat groups where people are extremely concerned about rents of $3,000, $4,000 a month for these new buildings that are going up. So if the government doesn't subsidize deeply affordable housing, there's going to be a large part of the population that won't be able to afford housing, period. And Ontario is one of the largest, is the largest province in Canada, and has a very high rental versus home ownership rate, considering the size of the province. And that's concerning because we're pushing more and more people into rentals, which means there's more demand for private market rentals, which means the prices will continue to go up. So supply does not solve the problem. We've known that for a long time. And so if we don't get governments convinced at all levels, local, provincial, and federal, to understand that we've got to fund deeply affordable housing, we won't solve this problem. We'll have more people homeless in Canada.
Exactly. And you make a great point, too, about the rents for some of the new places that are going up. And while it's affordable for some people, people do say, well, they'll move out of their places and someone can then move into that. But 9 times out of 10, the landlord raises the rent before they take on a new tenant into the place that's just been vacated. And there are several, there's many people who will live in these incredible new buildings that are going up all across Leonard County who can afford to, and more power to them. It's obviously that's really good for them. It's just sort of when you look down that line, because you keep seeing those rents going up, even on rooms, it's unbelievable. I saw an ad for a room for rent that was as much as a house when I first moved to Smiths Falls. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, a few years ago when we started providing rent supplements to young people, you know, the average room rental price on a house was about $450, maybe $500. It's now $800 to $850. And so we have young couples trying to share one room. They're renting one room to share together, two people. So because they cannot afford on, especially on social assistance, Ontario Works and ODSP, to literally find housing. So it's got to be all inclusive because they can't eat beyond that. So to have a couple, you know, living, sleeping on a single bed in a little tiny room in a house is not very healthy and safe conditions for sure.
No, not at all. Well, coming up February 25th. Yes, it will be the coldest night of the year, hosted by Cornerstone Landing. One more time, just give people the details if they'd like to donate or if they'd like to register to take part.
Yeah, so if you go to www.cnoy.org and then look up the location for Leonard County, that's really important that you get to the Leonard County location. As much as we support all of our other communities, want to keep our money in our community right now. So find the Leonard County location. You can register as an individual or a team. So you can register as a walker or a team, and you can also just go there to sponsor a team or a walker as well. And once you get registered, you'll have your own page set up then, and you can actually send a copy and send a link out to all your friends and associates and ask them to sponsor you for the walk. So I should mention that every year they produce a really cool toque that's different. So we've had six different toques provided. People have been collecting them over the years, so that's really fun. So if you raise 75 to 175, depending on your age, you'll get a toque as well. So yeah, come on out. It's a really fun event. Again, you can walk in person at the event, thanks to the Canadian Federation of University Women, or you can set up a virtual walk.
Excellent. Well, Terry Lee, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Of course, I had to stop myself there because we can go on for quite a while talking about this issue. But I do appreciate it. We'll be putting that link up with this interview as well on our website, lanarkleadstoday.ca. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks as always.
Terry Lee Calford with Cornerstone Landing, our guest today on In Focus. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon.
In Focus on Lake 88. To hear today's program online or to listen to any of our previous In Focus interviews, visit our website at lanarkleadstoday.ca.
In Focus on Lake 88 was brought to you by...